like a certain pastor around here, you know what I mean? Not our pastor, of course. Okay, how's this go down? Ah, there it goes. You got to force it. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Just want to share a few thoughts with us all tonight, thoughts that I've had along the way. You know, these are, someone read 1 Timothy, is it chapter 3, where that we know in the last days perilous times shall come. And isn't that 1 Timothy 3? 2 Timothy? Okay. And I tell you, indeed, these are difficult times that we're living in. You know, in my Sunday school class, I always try to encourage interaction or comments and stuff like that, and tonight would be no different, although I do want to hold us to a certain time frame to get out. Mike West, I saw him a while ago before the service. He said, who's speaking? I said, I am. Man, Cooper, if I'd known that, I wouldn't have shown it. I wouldn't have come tonight. I said, I almost didn't either, you know. I didn't want to hear me neither, whatever. You know, these are very difficult days we're living in as far as our country goes. How many of you have noticed, and I certainly have noticed, when we're out around, you know, different people and places that we eat at and whatever. How many of you eat at the chicken? It says it's like a chicken place on 1604. We went over there yesterday. Rick Benitez and I went over there. Go up 1604 and 87, turn right, and it's up there a bit on the right, a brand new place that's been open a short time. Anyone ate there? There's this chicken up logo. You know, it's not a chicken place. It's a Mexican food place. I'm serious, man. They got the only thing they got chicken is chicken strips. I'm a little disappointed in that. I was looking for something else. But everywhere, it seems like people are just on edge a lot. Anyone notice that too? I mean, the people, and I notice even different ones, you know, that when you consider, like, what's going on in our country, what's happening there, there's a lot, I know a number of y'all keep up with a lot of different things that's not on mainstream media. Mainstream media doesn't tell us anything that we really should know. They tell you about, you name it, that has nothing to do, this distractions from between Hunter and everybody else, you know what I mean? But some of the things, I know Brother Roger Titro and Brother Dave's different things about events that are going on, I read yesterday, and, you know, don't read everything you believe. How many of you believe the Lord's working his way back pretty quick here? I absolutely believe that. I think, you know, I think that we might, I'm just speculating. Nobody knows when the Lord's coming back. As far as the rapture, in fact, there is not one thing has to be fulfilled or has to happen before the rapture takes place. It's the rapture is imminent. That means that any time, and I believe it's going to come before the tribulation, of course, if he comes mid-trib, I'll say, you know, I always really believe mid-trib and everything. That's just why that was the political correctness of the denomination. You know, not really. But they're talking about the UN to this year up to 2030 to try to get all the nations. How many nations are there? 140, 50, 60 something? Dave, you know? Okay, well, it's somewhere in there. To come together to have and to propagate 7 years of peace. I mean, does that ring a note to us, you know, 7 years? I was reading an article. That's not what we're going to be doing tonight, but I was reading an article yesterday, three different ones from different sources, that between the 22nd and the end of this month, that the government with the World Health Organization is going. Their plans are to put as far as the, like the COVID and all that stuff in the hands of where they make the decisions of the World Health Organization for everybody, including us. And Mr. Biden and them are working towards that. That's been going on since last couple of years, the discussions and everything. What that would mean basically is that someone else, and Communist Chinese Party controls 90-something percent of the World Health Organization. Okay, all of that stuff, whatever. I do believe the Lord's on his way back. I think that everything we see going on all over the world, and not just, well, but of course, here in our country. And these are literally, as the scripture says, perilous times. I remember Brother Pete McGuire's with the Lord now, used to be our pastor, and he went to Israel all the time, and he'd come back and have all these slides about what's going on in Israel, and prophecy being fulfilled before our very eyes, and, you know, all of that type of thing. And but I want to tell you what, it is even at the door. And, of course, the scripture says that when you see these things coming to pass, what are you supposed to do? Look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. The Lord Christ, the rapture could happen tonight. Paul was looking for the rapture back in Corinthians. He was looking for the return of the Lord at that time. I'm sure we always think, and we'll talk about, hey, the Lord's coming back, and I wish it's today, and that, you know, all of that, and that's fine. There's a certain disconnect in our hearts to the reality if that happened. You know what I mean? Sometimes. And we're just going to go and live our lives. Well, no, that's what we're supposed to be doing. You know what I mean? But the Lord is on his way back. I really believe that. And there are different, you know, so many things, people going through so many things in their lives, and there was a situation happened at a fish factory. I'll never forget it. It's not recent, but at a fish factory, there's some guys duking it out right there in front of the front door, man. They was going to town. And, lock the door, you know. But it's just so much going on in our country, degenerate stuff. Even in recent years, we forget about it, but the lady that tried to throw her children, the oldest was 8 years old, over an overpass down into the traffic, you know what I mean, the lady that drowned her kids in the bathtub. I mean, these are unnatural things. We could go through chapter 3 of 2 Timothy 3, and it's all of these things that we see, and we see that the world has never been what it needs to be. You think back, how did the Holocaust happen? 7.5 million people were killed. And that was Milošević in Serbia or wherever. Where was that at? And where they was killing, it was a class war, and they was killing people I can't think of the other, but anyway, it's not good. And we need, as the scripture says, to be building ourselves up on our most holy faith. We need to be perceptive. We need to be realizing where all this comes from. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. but against principalities, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Do you know what's going on in our country? This is a spiritual battle going on right now. It's spiritual. And sometimes it affects our individual lives. Things that if we sit here and got everyone, which we're not going to do that, but for you to just share what is big concern you have that you're struggling with, or maybe not struggling, but you're having to address that you never thought you would have to address in our lives. Again, Satan wants to, Satan is behind so much of it. Say, well, you know, to think that God sometimes allows things. He does not cause things. He knows his omniscience, God's foreknowledge. Foreknowledge is not causative. Just because he knows about it does not cause that to happen. I heard so much of that at 9/11, you know. What God let that happen? Well, because people got it. Sinful nature, man. And they do that kind of stuff. And when I feel like personally, just a parenthesis, that I think so many things began changing back in the 60s. I mean, took Bible reading and prayer out of school in our country. It doesn't happen overnight. Everything that's going on right now is what people said back then we're going to see happen. Big time. Myself and a lot of y'all are older. I mean, David, he's old. But I remember when they would read a passage of scripture over the PA system and somebody, a student, would lead in prayer. And if you got picked to say the prayer, it was a little bit more than lay me down to sleep, but it was a written prayer, you know. That's in elementary school. That's what now? Yeah. Absolutely. I just hit on David. You need to just hold it down. I wasn't going to say. That is true. John Adams says that the Constitution was designed for a moral and religious people based on the Ten Commandments. It is holy and adequate, but for any other type of people. Well, where's all that gone? The success of it, which means the success of our country. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. I just want to try and be an encouragement a little bit. All of us go through stuff. First of all, you recognize who is the author. Satan is the author of confusion and every evil work. We do not need to be distracted, whether it's in the job situation, in just general society, or even in church or whatever. You know what I mean? I mean, so much in the scripture talks about unity and all of the rest of that. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. Man, I got to about spit out half of my time already. It says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing. That's a pretty big time qualification. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, who's that? Well, I'll tell you who he is. He's the one that's going to judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. It means to just be ready to share the gospel. You know, when it says, the scripture talks about that we should pray without ceasing. Well, we know you're not running around on your knees. But you pray anywhere. I pray in the car, and I pray all the time, you know. It means that we should be, my heart should be in such a situation that if an emergency came or if something came up and we had to pray right then, we wouldn't have to spend 30 minutes trying to get right with God to have a prayer heard. I mean, there's stories about that one, too. Good friend of ours, he had work done on his truck like a 10-wheeler thing hauling gravel and stuff, and it had work done on it. And when he was driving it up 84 in Waco, the steering wheel came out off in his hand. It was about 4 o'clock in the morning, fell over, tossed him out, and the truck landed on his arm, and he couldn't get out. And a guy stopped by trying to say, what you need help? And Tom said, I need help. And he went knocking on door, but 4 in the morning, ain't nobody going to open a door. And he went back and to try to help the father, the gentleman, and laying there stuck under the truck. And he asked the guy, the bystander guy and everything, he said, would you pray for me? And the guy actually was a Christian, but he was backslidden. And he told about, you know what I mean? I think the prayer line encourages that for us to pray for people and have them on our hearts like that. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. How? With all long suffering. That's the spirit of it. Wow. And doctrine. What does the scripture say? Not what I think, not what someone else thinks, but doctrine. They said doctrine, the teachings and the doctrine of the scripture, the second coming of Christ. We believe in the visible, personal, premillennial return. That's in our statement of faith at Town East. We believe in the conscious punishment of the saved and the conscious glory of heaven or the unsaved on the other end. But I mean, the scripture, the doctrine, salvation, it's by faith through faith, whatever. And those are in our statement of faith. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come, the preacher read this verse the other day, but the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Isn't that crazy? Doctrine is the spokes of the wheel that guides everything. You know, that's why in Old Testament it says to Dr. Robertson, you know, don't turn from the left to the right. Stay straight down the line. Don't get off on tangents. That's actually a paraphrase from the scripture. They won't endure sound doctrine, but after, you ever see that nowadays? But after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. I thought about in Revelation where he sends his word, his message to and to the church of Laodicea and to the church at Pergamos and all of these and everything. But in that passage it says, if any man have an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says. He's not talking about these ears hanging off the side of our head. He's talking about spiritual ears to hear. But the Spirit. I think about how long has it been? And you always say it in a negative way. I don't mean it really that. But for us to consider how long has it been since we have actually heard with our spiritual ears the voice of the Spirit of God speaking to our hearts. Oh, we get so busy, so this, so that, so engaged in things that really don't matter. 10 years, it won't even matter. But to hear what the Spirit says. But watch, that word says, but watch. You know what the word means? It means to be sober. Another synonym is vigilant. In other words, but watch. In other words, be engaged here. Watch, be sober. And the word sober is only used 11 times in the Bible. Just thought that was a side note. 1 Thessalonians 5:8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Look, we're in a battle. This is serious. What it means to be sober. It's a serious stuff. Don't blow it off. Titus 2:2, that the aged men, David, you know, okay, and since you brought you up, huh? No, there's a lot of us old around here. That the aged men be sober. Of course, in the Bible, that could be 300-400 years old, too. You know what I mean? Aged men be sober, grave, as a serious, temperate, sound in faith. Sound in faith. In charity, which is what? Love. 1 Corinthians 13, the great love chapter. In patience. Titus 2:4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands. In other words, be serious. Life is real. Serious stuff. To love their husbands, to love their children. To be sober, it means to be wise, that particular one. To be wise, man. Ladies, wisdom, man. It's almost like don't leave home without it. I mean, when you're trying to raise a family and kids and so forth, my mama, God bless her. I know Miss Doris, same. I mean, you know, God bless her. God bless all of us who had godly mothers and fathers too, that we were influenced by. And the thing that brought me back when I was unsaved and my life was less than credible, and was I got down to the bottom, and I knew, sitting outside, a friend of mine getting ready to go into homeroom in high school, senior year, I told him, and he and I used to do all kind of stuff, you know, that was we shouldn't have been doing, but I told him, I said, you know what, I know the answer to all my problems. Things are starting to pile down on me. I know the answer to all my problems. It's got to be the Lord. Just not sure if I'm ready to go. Yeah, that's stupid. Isn't that stupid? Yeah, man, you messed up so bad. I was just not sure if I'm ready yet. Get out of here. What you got for the option, dude? That they may teach the younger women to be sober or to be wise. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded. The word means to be discreet. Sober-minded. Discreet. 1 Peter 1:13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Clear thinking, of course. And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 4:7, but the end of all things is at hand. I think about that Lord coming back. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And of course we all know 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, who? The devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He don't go to bed at night, by the way. I mean, he's up. He's not omnipresent. He's not omniscient. He is none of those. He's an angel. He's not part of the Godhead. He's just an angel. And there's a lot of limitations. He's a powerful angel. But anyway, but it said, thou in all things endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Of course, he's writing this to Timothy, who was the pastor at the church. But we all have a ministry. God's called us to it. It's not just for paid staff or the preacher or the missionary. We all have a ministry. I mean, there's something God has just for us to do. We always say that 80% of the work in a church is done by what? That's not true here. I'm just telling you flat out. I sit there and some people are doing more than one thing. 82% of the people in our church are the ones that's doing the work. And it's been like that. It's fluctuated between 77, 78, up to 82, 83, one time 85% of the members of our church are involved in the just church. You'll see that. With a cliche, I mean, everybody's always heard that a Brazilian time. Well, 80% of the work done by 20% of the people. That is, it is opposite here. And like I said, some people have are involved in more than one thing. So some's involved in the music and also in ministry, like teaching Sunday school too and stuff like that. Anyway, we'll skip some stuff here. There's two things that Timothy mentions in this passage, and I'm only going to mention two of them. In view of all of these things, we should view our lives through the lens of eternity. You have to. There's no other lens as believers. If we believe, whether you eat or drink, draw off of the glory of God, if we believe that God is with us, if we believe that God is hovering over us, so to speak, and he is there taking care of us, he's saying, I never leave you nor forsake you. Is that true or is that not true? I don't care what we go through. I don't care what losses that you go through in this situation. It's not a good thing, and it's a pain and everything. But he will never leave us nor forsake us. We all know the analogy of where, that I was walking along and I would see footprints in the sand, and then I didn't see mine. Well, that was when God was carrying me. God's going to take care of us. He is going to take care of us. It's not a whatever. You remember the movie we watched? I know JD and Darlene. You remember when we saw the movie here called My House Should Be Called a House of Prayer, Jim Cimbala? And that was the most powerful. I'm going to tell you, I've read R.A. Torrey and Charles Finney and all these, and John L. Rice and all these books about prayer. I've never heard a message any time, anywhere in my entire life that was such a powerful message. My house should be called a house of prayer. And in the message, he was talking about his daughter and how she went way out there. He pastors the Brooklyn Tabernacle in New York City down on 3rd Street. But I thought about that. And how God, through prayer, answered prayer, and his daughter came back to him. I thought about, you remember the one, the heart of Texas, where the family, they lived actually going down towards Houston in Waller County, and their little four-year-old girl got hit by a car, killed her. And then it turned out that the guy that hit her was this old black gentleman that their family was like that. And when he found out who it was, he had his front bumper had some damage to him. When this dad found out who it was, his response was, oh, my goodness, he's got to be terrified. We need to go and try and encourage him. That whole movie. And the little boy, the son, felt like it was his fault that they had been arguing over some little doll, and then she jumped out stopped for a restroom break, and she jumped out of the car and ran across the highway and got hit and killed. I never forget what the mom told the little boy. He was about 8 years old, and it's my fault and all that. And she said, son, said, I think we're not looking at this right. We're looking at it from the bottom up, where we should be looking at it from the top down. I never forgot that. Man. Paul is reminding Timothy in verses 1 through 4, preach the word, God's going to come and judge us, the time will come, all of these times, that the urgency of the hour that we are all in. Why? Because we will, they will, all of us, we're going to stand before God. This could be sooner than we would like to think sometimes. It's like the old timers used to say, you need to strike while the iron is hot. Anybody know anything about blacksmithing? What does that mean? Tell me, someone. Yeah, you can mold that with the hammer whenever it's hot and red hot. But once it cools, it's not gonna do that. And then, in fact, I think of the scripture that said, seek the Lord while he may be found. No man comes to the Father except the Spirit draw him. I mean, it's something that you throw your luggage on the wagon when it's right there, you know. Huge reason for that. Secondly, the second thing is Timothy was to do four things, and this is the second of them. One of them is watch. The word actually means to abstain from wine, believe it or not. Watch, therefore. And then he also said, endure afflictions. And that is, of course, the main point I really like to make. Endure afflictions. God has not promised that everything will be rosy in our lives, but it is through the afflictions that we go through. It is through different things that we have to battle with. People with cancer. I hate cancer. But I mean, I don't control that. I don't like a lot of stuff that come of sicknesses and stuff like that. So Paul said, you know what you do? Endure it. Endure afflictions. When it got down to the end, Paul said that I have kept the faith. What does it mean when Paul said I have kept, I have fought a good fight, I finished my course, and I have kept the faith? What's he talking about? Was he in control? I've heard preachers preach it. He was controlled his salvation. I kept myself saved. You know, I heard somebody say one time, man, I saved whenever I saved myself and all the rest of that stuff. And the preacher on said, you didn't do nothing, man. If you got saved, God saved you. You know, if I got myself saved, I can get myself unsaved, you know, lose your salvation kind of a thing. What does it mean when Paul said, I have kept the faith? Yes. Amen. Yeah, oh, okay, yeah, that's right. I know what you're saying. Never will. That's what going to heaven is all about. The only time we're going to be in, Bible says that in this world, man's days are short and full of trouble. And we need faith. I mean, that's what it says in James. You know, that if any of you lack wisdom in the context of when you're going through trials, the trying of your faith worketh patience. But any of you lack wisdom, and that's wisdom if you interpret scripture in light of the context specifically, you can spiritualize it 15 different ways. But if any of you lack wisdom, in other words, wisdom of why am I going through this? I'm sure we've all asked that before when something's gone wrong. When I had my heart attack, when I had this accident, I'm there, well, I'm past the point to say, man, what's up? What'd you do this for? I mean, you know what, I'm past that. But it's not like I'm questioning him. There's nothing wrong with questioning God. Christ himself asked him, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know. I guess that'll be something someone will try and think through along the way. There's nothing wrong with questioning God if you're ready and open to his answer. I just wanted to know what God wanted me to do as a result of this. You know what I mean? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all, that's a cool word, to all men, liberally, bunches of it, pressed down, shaken together, and all the rest of that. All men, liberally, and abradeth not. Faith, because without faith it's impossible to please him. Faith comes by hearing, and Brother Savage said, and hearing by the word of God. You say, I ask myself, yeah, how much time do I spend in the word of God? Looking for direction and everything. Well, he said, I've kept the faith. What was the faith? What is that? What does that include, sir?
Confidence
in the Lord. I have kept the faith. What is this entity that Paul referred to? The faith. This is the faith. I think that it is all of the principles of Christianity that has to do, that, I mean, if we're saved, I think it's everything that's encompassed in the scripture, how to live our life. I've kept the faith. What does the scripture say? Well, you know, do this. Okay, I've done that. I have kept this faith once delivered. And in Hebrews it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with a so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, sin which does so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Not encouragement from everybody else, although there's absolutely a place for that, but looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Well, that is certainly if, when it's more of us than him. Paul, that's what Paul said in Philippians, said, my brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, to come to some sort of spiritual perfection. I count not myself to have apprehended, but that's one thing I do. I'm pressing towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God and Jesus. There ain't nobody went through more than Paul. I mean, except Job, maybe, but I mean, Paul, man. His wagon was loaded. He was stoned. You go back in Corinthians, he talks about all the things. Man, I stoned thrice. Somebody slapped my mama and all that. I mean, you know, he went through so much. And at the end, before they took his head off out of Capernaum, Roman soldiers beheaded him, took him outside the gates of the city and lobbed his head off. And that's when he said, I have fought a good fight. Finished my race, and I have kept the faith. Man, that's a deep statement. And all of us are called for that, you know. In the midst of everything going on around in our country and a lot of families and people we know and you know that none of us know but you personally know, God knows even more than we do what struggles we've been through. And I was going to say, if we everyone shared something, one thing about what's a huge concern in your heart right now, you think about it when you go to bed. First thing pops in your mind when you get up, it would be overwhelming. You know, that's why I saw on Facebook, be kind to people. You don't know what someone's going through. It had this line, like this little parenthetical thing. Here's this line right here. That this is this person's life. And then it had a little bitty piece at the end. It said, that's all you know about this person. Be kind. You don't know them as well as you would think. God's going to take care of us. He's going to never leave us. He's never going to forsake us. It's in times like these, the song says, we need a Savior. In times like these, we need an anchor. Be very sure be very sure that our anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. I recall, you know, all we really have is the Word of God. I mean, where does our hope come from? It's learning. In fact, in Matthew 11, 28, 29, but it says that, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. How does God think? How does he work in our lives? How do we sense his presence? What are we looking for? You know, I bet just about everybody in this entire room, you've had those times where you was going through some difficulty, and I mean God met with you. You know what that's like. We know when it's there, we know when it's not there. But when we can't, when we don't feel like it, like he's there, he is there. Because he said he wouldn't leave us for tea. He's only like prayer away. He's got the word is out there for us. I remember when I was in junior high school and I first went to Fonville Junior High over off Little York Road in North Houston. I was a seventh grader. First time in, you know, that's middle school. We call it middle school, we call it junior high. And my brother, we went to the same school, and he was in ninth grade. But my brother, he and about six other guys, they felt like they owned and ran the school, you know. And nobody messed with this group of guys. And so in gym, you had contingency of seventh graders, eighth graders, and ninth graders. And so a seventh grader, you know, when you first came, you was a rookie. Everybody come hit you in the arm. You a rookie, man. And that's just supposed to be the first day. Well, I mean, it's like 2 or 3 weeks later, and I still getting beat on, you know. And I remember Mike and I, we shared a bedroom, and my arm was just bruised up. He said, what's wrong? What's that? What's wrong with that? Your arm. I said, well, I'm a rookie. And people hitting on me and everything, you know. And he said, well, that was supposed to be, you know, here's the guy that he and his crowd think they run the school, you know. Well, that ain't supposed to. That's more powerful than principals sometimes, you know, you would think. But he said, that's only supposed to be for one day. Who's doing it? And there's no correlation to Larry Jackson. He used to go to church here. But this boy's name was Larry Jackson. And well, so when Mike asked me that, what's his name? I said, Larry Jackson. He's in our P.E. class, too, you know. I'll take care of that. So when gym class was over with, everybody changing clothes in the locker rooms. And so Mike got these other guys, you know, walking around the changing room and everything. Oh, Larry Jackson, where's Larry Jackson? Well, he's eighth grade, and he don't want these guys even knowing his name. You know, he wants to go incognito for sure. And lo and behold, we're out to have the gym and, you know, the gym back here changing and double doors that goes out in the hallways. And I was outside the hallway, and Mike come, and you know, he come out there, and it so happened Larry Jackson was standing there. And Mike, he said, you know, he's hollering, Larry Jackson. And Larry came up to my brother, and he said, I mean, you could see I loving it, man, fear and trembling. Said, I'm Larry Jackson. Mike, he didn't say a word to him, man. He reared back and he hit that boy, knocked him on the ground, leaning up against the wall, crying. What did I do? Because, you know, he didn't have nothing to do with them anyway. And Mike said, you see that guy right there? And I was like, he said, that's my little brother. Don't you touch him again. And I had a friend named Donnie Day. And Donnie said, man, Frankie, what about me? I said, what about Donnie? Yeah, I don't touch him either, you know. So he got in trouble for that, and I got in trouble for him taking up for me. But after that, everybody knew that I was Mike Cooper's little brother. And in junior high, they called me Little Cooper. I ain't that now, but Anyway, so Mikey told me then, he said, bro, he said, just walk when we're going down the hallway, just walk behind me and just stay close. And don't, you know, just stay close to me for a while. I mean, he'd get a drink of water, water fountain, go down the hallway, and I'd stop and get one. I'd look at him, he was gone, man, I'd run catch up with him. But you know what happened? After a while, the word was out who I was. I was my brother's little brother. And from then on, I didn't have to hang around him or walk around with him. Everybody knew that I was Mike's little brother, and I was hands off. You know, we go through storms in our life. But we have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And he's going to be with us. Doesn't mean that we might not get punched or something like that. But he's going to be there for us. And he's going to be there. And in a physical way, yes. But not only that, God, not just physically, but God and the Spirit of God, it's in our heart. And he encourages us. And he allows us to know his love, the love that passes all understanding. And as the song says, I am his and he is mine. Amen. Father, thank you for this time tonight. I just pray that you bless your word to my own heart. I pray for those who may be struggling as we take the prayer request. There's so many people going through difficult times right now, and I pray that your hand of mercy and grace would be upon each one of them. We ask this in Jesus' name.